Would you remain standing, please? And it's not often that a congregation gets a chance to read the biblical text on which the sermon is based, but there it is on the wall. So if you would turn, and maybe we could read that together. For it is the God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in clay jars, so that it may be made clear that this extraordinary power belongs to God and does not come from us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Page 17 of a bestseller that became a movie in a theater near you advises, "My belief is that if you have to be the aggressor, if you have to pursue, if you have to do the asking out, 9 times out of 10, he's just not that into you." This is the antiphon of an age perplexed with status anxiety. Let's try that out. He's just not that into you. Do you feel like God doesn't return your calls? He's just not that into you. Heaven doesn't pick up. He's just not that into you. Now, I have to say, this next paragraph isn't actually going to work. Because when I wrote this sermon, the Holden website led me to believe that when I stepped off the bus, the entire community was going to be gathered with Alfred E. Newman smiles on their face and everyone wearing a bright yellow T-shirt that said proudly and in an era of utter self-congratulation, "We're all crackpots here." I haven't seen this T-shirt. I went looking for it in the bookstore and it was in an obscure place. But let's pretend that it was there, otherwise the sermon's not going to work. Apparently, we're dealing with the self-esteem issue at Holden. The Summer 09 T-shirts celebrate us as cracked pots, and we seem to be pretty proud of it. But can you get from Paul's line in 2 Corinthians to "we have this treasure in clay jars" to a kind of cracked pot accolade? It seems more likely that Paul wore that second verse on the wall as a hair shirt, precisely not celebrating himself, not exercising self-esteem. But if the bookstore sold T-shirts that said "proud to be Humpty Dumpty" or "made in China and retailed at Walmart," then who would buy them? In fact, there were so many shards, broken pots, in Paul's world that even modern archaeologists leave them aside and don't bother to save them for museums. But if discounting us and the human condition were Paul's message, it would be such a disappointment in an age where we are unlearning a sin-saturated psychology and practicing a creation spirituality with good human creatures in leading roles. Those of us who went to Lutheran schools might even have learned that a key dimension of Luther's and Lutheran spirituality was Erdgebundenheit. You can sort of figure that out. It means earthboundness. A book just out this summer, Saving Paradise, wants to deliver us from the crucifixion fixation of medieval Christianity that was so down on the human condition. So look at 2 Corinthians 4:7 again. God's treasure has been poured into cheap, common, throwaway clay pots, meaning in Paul's painful and somewhat defensive autobiographical letter to the Corinthians, my personality, my missionary work, my preaching aren't what it's about. I'm making this point, Paul says, so you'll look at God and not at me, and not snipe at me. The gospel is not about me. We're all living between affliction and consolation. And the gospel seems to involve God's choice, odd as it is, to pour divine treasure into pots that can easily be broken and ruined. We're working out the Christian faith and life between affliction and ongoing renewal. Now wait, that's the clue. Yes, we are carrying in our bodies, these are the next verses after these, we are carrying in our body the death of Jesus. But don't you see, Paul says, that that means the life of Jesus is also in our repertoire. Christ's resurrection will be visible and available on earth, in the Christian community, in planetary life. So yes, Paul deliberately used the Greek word for cheap clay pot, but then he proclaimed that something new is cooking in these pots. As leaders of Jewish renewal say today with their journal Tikkun, through us, God wants to mend the world. God is a woman mending worn quilts and torn threads and making them beautiful and functional again. This surely must be the path from Paul in Corinthians to Holden and to the celebration of creation and a good earth that so many modern Christians are committed to. Of course, that's too long for a t-shirt, which is why patient Bible study and thoughtful reflection and gospel preaching are more crucial to spiritual formation than little jingles. The Bible mounts a play in three acts, not one. Creation, and its New Testament recapitulation and intensification as incarnation, one. Crucifixion, two. Resurrection, three. Dietrich Bonhoeffer saw that it takes three stories, making the grand narrative a three-story universe, after all, to triangulate the human condition under God. So in Act 1, we have learned again to celebrate and not run from a good creation and its corrective corollary, God's great risk of incarnation in Christ. Luther's ecstatic, what a wonderful tradition many of us live in, Luther's ecstatic incarnationalism comes through in his hymn verse, O Lord, you have created all. How did you come to be so small? And against Calvin, his fellow reformer, and others, Luther insisted on the dubious proposition the finite, cracked pots, is capable of the infinite. That is, God did not hold back most of divinity for safekeeping in heaven. No, God came to the table and bet it all on earth. Clay pots can fully contain divine treasure, Jesus being the prototype. As for the second story, no one in the Lutheran tradition and no one who takes Paul seriously and does not imagine that Paul ruined Christianity by loading heavy theology onto the lighthearted ministry of Jesus is ready to give up the story about human evil and about the cross as the means of forcing God off the earth. The theology of the cross is foolishness to the world's self-congratulation and certitude because of its realism about the dark side. How dark? We are thoughtlessly, all of us often cheerfully participating in poisoning the earth because getting ahead seems to require it. We are committed to naming evil in others while carefully declining the self-examination that might spoil our own cheerfulness. Taking special pleasure in our national lease on God, we do not choose to imagine effective health care as a requirement of God's justice, essential to the covenant deal. God's ingenuity, unlike ours, makes God's self small and weak. To make a point against rapacious capitalism or the smug rationality of celebrity atheists or the ironic detachment of all my university colleagues, if clay pots are to come to life with divine treasure, something outside the equation is necessary. Another story. Resurrection, or new creation, is the third story that paradoxes with the realism of the crucifixion, that makes Christian theology a bracing dialectic with us coming to life in the force field of God. God said yes. God said no. God said nevertheless. All together now. Yes. No. Nevertheless. Back to our t-shirt. Broken, but also mended and new. Common clay, but transfigured. We're flying the flag at Holden Campground because God sleeps in our tents. God is so into us. Amen.
And we sing hymn number 736, 736. Again, you're invited to stand.
Thank you.
Now may the God who formed you from the dust of the earth transfigure your lives with love, now and always.